This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, welcome to Busted Pencils. It's our special, you know, Friday drop, free throws and face-offs. And we are here today with Civic Media's very own Jimmy K. Jimmy K, how you doing this morning?
I am doing fantastic. It is a really, really packed and busy time of the year. I will say that my normal working hours don't normally include as much coverage of sports. But I got to tell you, when you get to the end of winter sports season with all the overlap, my days are all about high school sports here at Civic Media. So it is a busy, busy time of the year.
Well, we love that here, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Jimmy K here today. Well, Jimmy, it is that time of year, free throws and face-offs. You know, it is the busy part of an exciting winter sports season. Give us some highlights. What's happening in this coverage that you got going round the clock these days?
You know, what's funny is on our Civic Media stations, we're only covering about half the sports in the winter play-by-play-wise. It's really hard to do play-by-play of swimming, I found out, but that is happening this week with the state championships. It's not impossible. It's just not normally a radio sport, right? But what is typically heard on the radio are things like wrestling, hockey, and basketball. And certainly one of, I think, the coolest events in Wisconsin is the state individual wrestling tournament. When you get to state, it's much like state track and field. You've got literally dozens, hundreds of communities represented in one venue, in one space. And it is such a cool coming together of the Wisconsin high school sports world in the Kohl Center with wrestling or at UW lacrosse and track and field. It's absolutely one of my favorite events. And that rolls into individual sectionals as of tomorrow for both boys and girls wrestling with the state meets happening next week in Madison. So wrestling is in a really good spot right now with that. The team sectionals were earlier this week. It's also the start this week of our high school hockey playoffs. So we are in regional mode right now. And this is a week where it's kind of the elimination week. You kind of eliminate, because it's an all play, you know, every team gets in. This week you eliminate the teams. You really cut it down to the core to sectionals next Tuesday. And for my money, next week with the sectionals, the two games you play in sectionals are some of the best hockey broadcasts that a broadcaster could ever hope to be a part of. But that's not to discount what's happening in the regionals that are happening here today. So hockey happening right now, which is amazing. It's been one of my favorite sports to call. And then next week you launch into basketball with girls basketball first and then boys basketball the week after. The girls brackets are set. The boys brackets will be announced on Sunday, and the basketball tournaments tend to be a very large revenue generator for the WIAA. They are a very important tournament to the bottom line in continuing what the WIAA provides to student athletes in Wisconsin. So the winter sports season is really ramping up here the next few weeks. And for about the next four or five weeks, you're going to see a lot of us here in the sports department at Civic Media kind of running around here because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, this is the time of year. Winter sports are firing on four cylinders. Lots of exciting ways to get out and support those, like we call them here at Busted Pencils, essential activities. Sometimes they're referred to as extracurriculars, but we know that they're core experiences that our student athletes get to have, not only with their school community, but really more broadly with their communities in Wisconsin. It's so important. It's like one of those great events. You know, we talk about sporting events, but the playoff season, it's one of those great combinations of good sports, great community activity, and involving young people in that next step in their educational journey. So huge. Jimmy, I got to ask you, I'm a huge Storm fan. So give us an update on my Storm. How are they doing?
Well, it's the first week of the playoffs, so they're still in it, as does everybody. But, Yep. You know, what's interesting about, especially a sport like girls hockey with co-ops and everything like that, the playoff field is so small. And there's really just a core group of teams like the Storm that end up making it pretty far in the playoffs just about every year. That's kind of exciting when you're in those programs. But, you know, when there's only three, maybe not even three dozen programs in the state, and a lot of them are, up to a dozen schools in a co-op. Like, you know, it's a little concerning on a few levels, but you know, the programs, there have been a couple of really interesting cases in girls hockey of, you know, for example, in Eastern Wisconsin, where, you know, you have these small schools that kind of, they call up for a while, then they break apart. And you see, like in Waupaca, for example, you know, they have programs up in that area. And all of a sudden, you know, they become standalone programs. People step into it, volunteer, and get these things going again. But it's so hard as a small school in hockey, in boys or girls, to compete against co-ops that might, like for an example, in the Madison area, you have two co-ops, one for basically the Western Dane County and one for the Eastern Dane County. That's a lot of student population to pull from. And then you're talking about a small school in Northern Wisconsin where your pool might be, you know, 1,000 students. So there's some real disparities, and that's a whole other conversation for another day. But that's the long answer to your question. Things are good for an established program in the hockey playoffs.
Well, we're looking forward to it, rooting for those Storm to, you know, make a deep run and hopefully go for another state title. So keep up that good work. All these teams headed into their playoff season. Jimmy, this is also the time of year where there's a ton of stuff on the table, all kinds of decisions and proposals to be made that impact, you know, our school essential activities like these sports. Give us an overview, kind of highlight. I know that, you know, we have summer contact stuff, NIL, and some big things coming out of football. So give us an overview on initiatives that have been on the table.
So I'll start with the things that are approved, and that's in football. Football had three major changes. Two of them are just in regards to qualification into the postseason. So it used to be you just had to win more than half your conference games and you were in. The new proposal has a matrix, a formula for playoff qualification that is based on your wins and your opponent's wins as long as you defeat them. So it's a point system that adds up, and the more points you get, you're into the playoffs. And they did this. They designed this plan before the mistake the WIAA made in seeding setting the playoff field in both 11-player and 8-player football. They corrected 8-player football. They did not correct 11-player football and had to apologize for it later. So that scenario really spurred momentum for this plan, which was overwhelmingly approved by coaches. In fact, there's only about 420 high school football head coaches in the state. 400 of them responded to the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association survey. That's the association that all high school football coaches in Wisconsin belong to. There's my membership card. always have it on hand. And 87.5%, 7 out of every 8 out of 8 coaches in the entire state approved and agreed with this plan, which got it moved through committees pretty quickly and then was approved by the Board of Control. It also, for the first time, sets in your division. So football is unlike any other sport in Wisconsin. Not every team makes the playoffs, which is why you need a qualification in the first place. And this process is completely transparent. There's no computer algorithm. There's no hidden anything. There's no coaches meeting. It's straight up. You got to win games, and your opponents have to win games when you beat them. The other part of it is it sets your division before the year. You used to have to wait till the end of the year to know what division you were in. Now, you know, in 11-player football, the 51 other teams in your division you're competing against for 32 playoff spots. That is a big change as well. It also incorporates the WIAA's tournament performance factor, which moves you up divisions based on if you make it further into the state tournament. So you know going into the year, for example, my high school will be Division 7. So the team I coach, we are very solidly D7, and we have 52 teams we compete with. We're about the 20th smallest program in 11-player football right now. So no danger of us moving up, but we know where we're at, and we know who we're all up against in our division. That's a big change. And I think the last one, and this speaks to the equity in high school football and something that coaches have been asking for a while, is that in 8-player football, with the increase in small schools going to that, the you know, there's over 70 programs now at 8-player football, but the playoff field was only 16 teams. So that meant last year there were 2-loss teams that were going 6-2 in the regular season that couldn't make the playoffs. Whereas in 11-player football, you had a team that was 3-6 make the playoff field. Right. So now the field has been expanded to 32. The season now starts at the same time as 11-player football. So things like camp and equipment issues and everything like that are now equally aligned. And their playoff round, because of that move, you know, extends by 1 because they have 32 teams in the playoff field. Their championship will still be in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll still have one less week of regular season, but it does get 32 out of the roughly 70, I think it's 76 teams right now in 8-player football. So about half, maybe a little less than half. half. And some of those 8-player teams are ineligible for the playoffs because their enrollment's over 200. So there's another rule in 8-player. If your enrollment's over 200 for a 3-year span, the average, you can't make the playoffs. So I would say probably a little more than half of 8-player teams are not eligible for the postseason. You also had asked me about summer contact and NIL. These are not approved things, but these are things that are up for consideration at the annual meeting in April, should they pass the Board of Control votes in March and April right before the annual meeting. So every month there's a WIAA bulletin that comes out, and this month's bulletin included two really key. There are multiple things. There's a lot of little things, and I don't mean to say little as in they're not significant. They are to your sport or to the legislative body. But there are two things that I think are going to dominate headlines from this. One of them is the same talk we had this time last year. NIL, name, image, likeness. It's in college sports. A lot of people would argue that it's done done some pretty crazy things to college sports. I mean, evidence, the Big Ten now stretches from the Pacific Ocean to New York, right? So, you know, NIL has really taken over in college sports. Well, it is in the vast majority of high schools already. In fact, Wisconsin is among the last dozen-ish states that has no NIL policy in its governing body for high school sports. So this is back on the table. It is very similar to the proposal last year. And the difference this year from last year is that last year it was introduced with about 8 weeks to go, and it was a rush to get everybody educated. And that was the number one reason cited in it failing by a pretty good margin last year. But now we've had a full year to digest this. And I think school administrators have had enough time to review it. And I think people understand that if it's not going to happen through this process with the schools deciding it, that the state legislature might have to take it up like they had to in Colorado. And you don't want the state legislature setting your policy for things that you're trying to govern. And the other thing that is coming up is in regards to summer contact. Currently, you're limited to 5 days in the summer between June 1st and July 31st that you can have any contact as a coach with student athletes. Now, it's a little kept secret that a lot of programs in the offseason have very robust weight training programs. You know, and I'm using quotation marks. You can't hear this, but quotation marks, voluntary workouts, things like that that happen. It's pretty well known that teams kind of skirt the rules a bit in order to field competitively. The 5 days was designed to protect students from having to spend their whole summer playing a sport, basically, right? And the intentions are good, but in practice, that's not really what was happening. So now it just creates two lanes of time, all of June and most of July, for teams and coaches to gather and have instruction. What levels that'll be at remains to be seen. And honestly, that is something that is going to have a lot more discussion on it before we get to that vote coming up here in April.
Well, absolutely, man. Jimmy, thanks for these updates. There's so much we could get into with each of these. I think I'm going to have to invite you back on and Tim and I, you know, pick your brain around high school NIL. Like, that's got to be, I would love to have that conversation. Maybe even we'll talk to some of our school administrators who are grappling with that as well, because certainly at the college level, it's been, you know, it's been turning things upside down for the last few years. So I have to imagine it's an interesting conversation for high school. And hey, you know, summer contact, I love this, revisiting some of these rules and regulations around things, because activities in the summer can be overwhelming, but they can kids, their structure, their ways to keep them invested, not only in their school, but in their friendships and community, in ways where they're continuing to be mentored by folks. So rather than just turning them loose for the summer, I love to hear great conversations around this. Just want to highlight this because it's what we do here at Busted Pencils, right? Is we got to recognize some democracy in action, Jimmy. The coaches, you being one of them, man, that's great for our listeners to remember. We're always talking about this, that like coaching is, you know, by and large volunteer, you know, unless you happen to also be like I was, a teacher at the school, which still it was kind of like part of my teaching responsibility. So it was like quasi volunteer because it doesn't account for all those hours, but it's by and large volunteer work that, you know, goes so much further beyond just who's going to play in the game today, what's a practice plan, and, you know, did we win or lose? You know, they're really participating. They're doing civic responsibility here, right? Democracy in action. And great turnout for Wisconsin football coaches. Big two thumbs up for the Wisconsin coaches. 400 of the 420 of you responded to, you know, to basically vote, to chime in, to say, to have a say on those football issues. And so that's huge. That's great example of democratic participation from our football coaches.
I will add the proposal was written by three of the coaches in the association as well. So the proposal originated with coaches to begin with.
So while we could easily wrap up there and give big cheers for heading into the exciting part of winter sports, Jimmy, little less cheer coming from my direction on this issue, but you know, some big things hitting the sports world, you know, last week in the NCAA, and you wrote, I think, a really helpful article about the WIAA, you know, federal guidance, following federal guidance, the ban on transgender students from girls sports. Give us a little update, kind of a summary of that. We'll point our listeners towards Jimmy's article. But to me, I mean, this is one of those moments where here we are in this onslaught of executive orders, this political, you know, making our schools and classrooms and fields, locker rooms and sports programs a battleground for politics. But Jimmy K, give us an update on this ban and kind of how you see it and where things are at.
There's been a series of executive orders. A couple of them affect Title IX. One of them specifically dealt with participation in girls' sports. So now, essentially, it boils down to this. If you were assigned male at birth, you can no longer participate in girls' sports or women's sports at the NCAA level. The WIAA adopted this policy on Wednesday. It came out about a week after the NCAA's decision and about 2 weeks after President Donald Trump's executive order on it. So it is one of those things that we had grappled with as a local school district, as a school board member, about whether, is Title IX, whatever. Like, we had a couple of board members who were asking if can we roll back Title IX to 2020? Well, the Trump administration took care of that. I will just say I'm speaking for myself and not for the board. I personally was not in favor of that. And I don't like the idea of excluding any student athlete from participation in anything. I believe that these are opportunities that benefit student athletes, regardless of what it is that you identify as, your origin, religion, any of that. I think everybody deserves a chance to participate and represent your school. But the decision has been made. It is part of the policy now in both the WIAA and NCAA. And, you know, there's the threat too in these executive orders about pulling back federal funding. If you're not taking part in these things, following these executive orders, obviously the diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, if you have those, high schools in Wisconsin get, what, about 5-6%, depending on your district, your funding from federal government. But when you look at your budget, you know, how do you overcome that? Schools, you know, we've had over 250 schools go to referendum in the last 4 years. And, you know, it tells you that a 4-5% hole in your budget from federal funds would be pretty impossible to overcome given the state of school funding in Wisconsin. We've also had this happen in the legislature. We've seen a number of proposals come through on this. And we had one last session. We'll probably have another one this session, trying to codify it in case Title IX changes down the road. It is a really hot topic for debate. Unfortunately, I'm on the side of believing that everyone should have an ability to participate in things. There's no setup for people who fall outside gender norms. You know, there's no third, you know, bucket. You have boys, girls, and a third. You know, like, that doesn't exist, and it's not practical to have that exist either. So, but that is what has happened this week. I did recap it and give some links to executive orders, the NCAA policy. The NCAA policy, by the way, is very comprehensive. I will say this about the NCAA. There's a lot of things you can say about it, especially as it applies to college sports and how crazy it's gotten, especially at the Division I level. But the policy regarding transgender student athletes, I think, is quite comprehensive and includes a lot of detail about what they look for, everything from testing to counseling to everything. And it's very thorough. And I will add this, the NCAA in their guidance did include a lot of resources for mental health, for physical health, for that matter. And I think that's a credit, just being aware of the situation of we're in, that, you know, we need those resources more than ever for our student athletes, whether it's college kids or obviously high school kids here in Wisconsin.
Well, Jimmy, thanks for that work, and thanks for being on here with us for this episode of Free Throws and Face-Offs. Man, I could dive into this. You know, I just want to say I'm with you, Jimmy. Unfortunately for these decisions, you know, our experience with opportunities for however you identify out there, for you to participate in the sport that you love, that you're good at, that is the right appropriate level for your play, it shouldn't really come down to that archaic way of, You know, what parts did you have when a doctor looked? Right. And so, you know, hopefully we get this right over time. I understand the circumstances we're in right now. Thanks for everything, Jimmy. Hopefully we live to see a better opportunity for all of our members of our community to participate in these great essential activities, as we call them here at Busted Pencils. So thanks for busting pencils with us, Jimmy.
I appreciate the time as always, guys.
And now for your moment of zen. I had always insisted that a good education was a synthesis of book learning and involvement in social action, that each enriched the other. I wanted my students to know that the accumulation of knowledge, while fascinating in itself, is not sufficient as long as so many people in the world have no opportunity to experience that fascination.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils, Free Throws and Face-Offs. Of course, that drops every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website or wherever it is you get your pods. And don't forget, tune in on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time for an hour of Busted Pencils across all the Civic Media radio networks. And download the special Busted Pencils pods, homeroom on Mondays, and class and sessions on Wednesdays. And keep busting pencils.